Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. Today we have a very exciting show, and it's going to be To Fear Evil is to Empower It. We are in a time where warring is happening in the lower heavens between the light and the darkness, and certain technologies have become the modern day idol. The signs of prosperity, movement, and abundance we can recognize clearly. The signs Christ gave us for this time, many have omitted them as a real possibility. Discernment has never been more necessary to understand. A lie sounds like the truth, and the truth sounds like a lie. There is only one way, God's way. I would like to go ahead and share a little prophecy with you all.
Absolutely.
Okay. Troubling times are near. The weather conditions around the world are increasingly becoming more destructive. We will soon see a large earthquake on the West Coast that could cause devastating effects to many. A couple extremely large hurricanes will impact the East Coast this year. More wind issues around the world will happen due to an unusual interaction with cosmic influences. The planet will continue to tilt and rock back and forth, causing further weakness to its poles. The jet streams will stretch and dip higher and lower through the United States than before, causing a lot of weather anomalies. A considerable increase in meteors will be seen around the world happening. Animal attacks towards people will increase, so be careful. Radiation levels on the planet will increase, so best to wear a hat and glasses to protect yourself. Hot weather will continue into late fall, and winter weather will usher in extreme cold. Unusual earth sounds may be heard as the earth is impacted with more and more solar activity. More coronal mass ejections will happen with stronger impacts, even though we are already seeing X-class flares and G3 solar storms. Beautiful auroras will continue to be seen. Remember, it is all about us evolving in consciousness, and the sun is a catalyst to help us on our own past growth, adding more higher vibrational light to accelerate our consciousness growth. From the beginning, you have been promised, if you follow the ways of God, you shall be saved. You chose to become a part of creation here at this time. You have been given the power to speak, teach, and preach, just as the disciples have done in the past, to bring the glory of God into each other's hearts. Then the blessings of the Lord would be with you. But for some, your faith has grown weak, and your commitment to the light has faded. Allow yourself to trust and believe that through God is the way, that he will always be there for you if you only just have faith and believe in him. When you make a commitment, you must hold to it, for your words are what bind you to your agreements. Understand that speaking falsely about anything separates you from the light, and understand that how you treat others is a definition of who you are. Stand strong in the name of God, but never letting your ego control yourself. Know the will of God will be fulfilled, and that the love of God overcomes all things. For through God we find ourselves and our purpose in life. We overcome darkness, and our light is united with that of our Creator. Claim your oneness with God, and have faith you can help remove the darkness from others that need it. When you claim you are washed in the blood of the Christ and you command your will through his will, anything is possible. You are God's healers, teachers, and preachers. He has empowered you to do his will. Allow yourself to do that. Thank you, and blessings to you.
That was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the signs, you know, say of the time, that is kind of indicating the end of this age, you know. In Matthew 24, you know, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, Jesus answered and said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Make sure you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations and for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. You know, in Matthew 24:7-8, Jesus speaks of the earthquakes, the famine, the pestilence, the signs preceding his return. Well, when we look at the present day events that are happening, just today, there was a 7.0 earthquake in Russia. There's lots of flooding all over the world. Hurricane season started early. There was a 50-degree weather in the Antarctica, which only creates more melting and water levels to rise. The earth has been wobbling and tilting for a while now. And when you look at the moon and the stars at night, most times they're not in their proper position. Jim's been noticing that, you know, the moon's setting in its complete opposite position, over towards the east or the south. You know, we've noticed that a lot lately. And you notice that there's extremes in heat, and in other parts of the world, cold weather, that more volcanoes are erupting. And even deep ocean oarfish that live 1,000 feet below in the waters are being found dead in a couple of locations recently. So are these the signs that are spoken about in the end times? You know, many Christians interpret these environmental crises as the signs of the earth groaning in anticipation of the return of the crisis described in Romans 8:22. Well, Jesus speaks of wars and the rumors of wars in Matthew 24:6-7. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars, so see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for the nations will rise against nations and the kingdoms against kingdoms. And our Lord said that man would never learn to live in peace on this earth. The Antichrist will promise peace, but peace will not come until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes. And in Matthew 24:7, Jesus speaks of the famines and pestilence as indicators of the coming end. Well, with the weather conditions so extreme, lots of farmers have lost a lot of their crops because of the heat and no rain, while others are because of floods. It is important to have a garden or some way of growing food to help keep enough food for yourself to eat if the shelves in the grocery stores become bare. Then pestilence is predicted. Well, if COVID is not an indicator of this and all of its mutations, you know, and now we have monkeypox, an autoimmune blistering disease. You know, what is next? Now, Jesus cautions in Matthew 24:9-10, that during the last days, believers will be persecuted and hated because of their faith. So throughout the Bible, persecution is depicted as a hallmark of discipleship and a fulfillment of Jesus' words that in this world, you will have trouble, John 16:33. Then in Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, look at the crime rate right now, how it's increasing. You know, and are we able to trust others? You know, is it becoming hard? Do we need to discern? I believe so. And many people who attend church are not following all of God's ways. There is no lordship of Christ, no repentance, no following Jesus to the death. When persecution begins, will you turn your back on the Lord? You may say you won't, that faced with death, would you still say that? You know? In Matthew 24:24, Jesus warns of false prophets who will arise during the last days and deceive many. Well, for false Christs and false prophets will arrive and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You know, miracle workers will do incredible things through the power of Satan. Believe in miracles, but do not build your faith on miracles. A false prophet is all about self-interest. And a true prophet speaks not of self-interest, but of the interest of the Almighty God. You know, the Apostle Paul in Timothy mentions moral decay as a sign of the coming end, where people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, being very boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, to others, ungrateful, unholy, you know, unforgiving, you know, without self-control, and not lovers of the good. They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited, just lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, Jerusalem will be surrounded with armies, and the abomination of desolation will be set up. Yeah, Luke 15. Also in Matthew, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. In the last days, there will be people loving Jesus. They will themselves hold the truth and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Christians are not saved because they endure. They endure because they're saved. So maybe not everyone will be saved, but the gospel will eventually be preached in all the world, and the end will come. Jonathan Cahn said, in the book of Joel, God speaks of a nation turned from his ways and battered from calamity, a devouring plague and devastation. Then comes a call and an answer. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. The call is to return, the return of those representing and interceding for the nation. If that were to happen, God would bring healing and restoration. He would turn the nation's curse into a blessing, and who would restore the years the locusts have eaten. As God called Israel to return in its last days before judgment, he is now calling America. I have long spoken of this, and this is what he is saying. We must live and move by the Spirit, because by the Spirit the righteous are enabled to overcome all powers in the world. We must pray for its outpouring upon the world and upon our own lives. We must seek to live by the Spirit, move by the Spirit, overcome by the Spirit, and do all things by the Spirit. And apart from the Spirit, we cannot succeed. But by the Spirit, we cannot fail. Now, Jim, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. I hear this a lot, and we've discussed this, but can you explain what is truth?
Well, thanks for that one. it's so funny because when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and was being tried, Jesus brought up the aspect of truth. And Pontius Pilate was pouring his wine at the time, and he said, but you talk of truth, but can't there be more than one truth? Can't I have my truth and you have your truth and somebody else have their truth? I mean, isn't truth subjective to the individual? And a lot was lost that day, at least in Holy Writ, because there was probably, if Jesus did answer it, there was no one around to that would have written it down, because they had all rejected Jesus, even his own disciples. Can you imagine that everybody you know rejects outright, without even a reason, or even a good reason, or out of fear? I mean, they saw the miracles of God. They saw the hand of God through the works of the Christ, through the works of Jesus, and in the movement of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they saw them. They saw things that just couldn't be explained beyond, way beyond anything else. And yet, they ran like rabbits the night that it had occurred. The signs are there. So what is truth? Well, can you have your truth and I have my truth? No, not what my Bible says. When I read it and when the Holy Spirit, when I meditate or ponder it, and if you'll remember, I gave you the word ponder because even Mary, on the top of that step, going into the temple, the day that the Archangel Gabriel stood on that step with her and proclaimed that she was the chosen one, it says that for days after that, Mary pondered the words that have been spoken by Gabriel. Wow. I mean, if Gabriel can appear before you and pronounce that you are, to do something great for God, I mean, would you ponder it for days? Yes. Pondering actually is, a part of spirituality. It gives you the chance to be able to bring it to the center point. Because if you don't, there will always be times that you'll be pulled to the left or you'll be pulled to the right. And which one is the right? Most of the words in the English language or many of the languages, were written, let's face it, by men. And so the right is good, the left is bad. I mean, it doesn't say it any other way. And so should we call the right that word, right? I mean, because we have come to believe that everything that is right, it must be good. And that is a big falsehood. And so we are being faced right now with the signs. And we have seen little things all of our life, sometimes even big things. But right now, we are being given all the signs, and they're coming so quick, it's hard to even, to not see them. You can't not see them if you're looking. If you're not looking, then one may want to, take and ponder their life's choices, their life's path. And so the truth is only one truth because there is only one God. Now, you can worship how you want. You can worship in your head. You can worship, you know, whomever, you know, you wish to worship. But the thing about it is that there still is only one God. However the path is that gets you there, there is one God. And if you follow the truth of the one God, through his Holy Trinity, which is three in one, still one, and if you follow that, you will certainly be given every step of the way the truth. And, you know, even the things that we say, we have to be very careful. I mean, in Job 3:25, in Job, it says, that which I feared has come upon me. And again, Job 3:25, that which I feared has come upon me. I mean, so when you really look, you know, it's giving you the answer of truth. And first, we have to ask that we be given the truth. Because let's face it, when Jesus was on that cross, the last words he uttered were, Father, it is finished. Now, if you believe in Christ and or the work that he did, because he said, if you cannot believe in me and who I am, believe in the works that I do. In other words, I'm giving you signs that, I mean, you can't explain. And so either you accept that there is something here that is being given to you, I mean, beautiful things that cannot be explained otherwise. If you fail to acknowledge them, then you are actually turning away from God. And that was even, you know, on the cross as he gave up the ghost, it says. And even now, we see the signs that we have seen, our grandparents have seen, you know, and things that have come their way. And they'll tell you about little miracles that have occurred and, you know, and how they have had faith in God and that's what got them through. And it will. There's no doubt about it. It will get you through each and every day, whatever you come across. You know, if you can center yourself, and when I say center, don't look left, don't look right. And that's what I was told in a place of meditation and pondering by the Holy Spirit. Do not look left, do not look right. And I thought, well, what does that really mean? I mean, don't you have to look left sometimes, and don't you have to look right sometimes? And the Holy Spirit told me from within that if you look left or you look right, something will attract your attention and it will pull you off the path. And it will be something that you just have always wanted or something that is just too desirable to turn down. And if you move left to see what it is, the right will fight you. The right side of your brain or your body even will fight you that the left cannot be right. The left is left. And if the left sees the right moving, or you moving towards the right because you have seen something that you just is so desirable. And too often, when those things occur, we want to say, well, as long as I give God, you know, God gave me the blessing. You better make sure, because if not, it will cause you so much trouble over a short period of time, you know, that you will sometimes, and you probably had this happen in your life where something you thought was really good and something you really wanted, and all of a sudden it became, you know, in your life, that which would dog you, that which you all of a sudden came to the conclusion that, man, I got to get this away from me because it's not doing me any good. It's causing more problems than it should. And there's your answer. And the truth is one. The truth comes from God through the Holy Trinity. It is the Father, hallowed be thy name, and it's the Messiah, Emmanuel. You can use Jesus if you want, but in the Greek, it means Zeus, and they're the ones that crowned that name. You won't find it predicted in any of the prophets. It's Yeshua was the assigned name by the family, but it means Savior, and if you think about it, it's very close to Joshua and the other prophets down through the years. But he is your Savior. He is your God, because when he became one, when he arose from that tomb, he was one with God. And you're either one or you're not. And the whole goal here is to become one with God and yet to know oneself individually. That's the beauty of it. Too many people don't want to give up who they are. And I've heard it way too much. You know, well, you know, I like to have a cigarette now and again, or I like to, you know, once in a while drink a beer. So I really don't, you know, want to be religious yet. I mean, there'll probably come a time. And it's like, you don't get it, do you, that really God doesn't really worry so much about you having a cigarette or you drinking a beer. Okay? It's those things in excess. It's those things that will turn you away, that'll turn you someplace else. And you cannot be someplace else. Not now. And Jesus said, he said, I will give you the sign. He said, you see the signs around you that God exists, but they're not the material things. Material things that you see around you will decay and fall apart eventually, and they will break. Sometimes they break right out of the box. And that's not God. God has never created anything that decayed and was destroyed except by the will of the one withholding it. So even our own bodies, you know, it's the temple of God. Do we hold on to that? Do we make sure that every day we invite him in and take up the path, the walk, and each step you take will be the steps of God? And that is one, and that is truth. And if anything comes along that tries to convince you otherwise, you know, put it aside, push it away. Those individuals out there, those beings out there, and trust me, there are so many dark beings on the face of this earth right now because of the changes that are coming. Some of them are being given a second chance. Others just found a way out. And they're here to test us in every way, shape, or form. And how are we handling those temptations? How are we handling what is being said? Even Jesus, when he was in 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, you know, and Satan was testing him. One of the things Jesus said was, come if you will, but I will not call upon my Father to save me from you. And I pondered that from the time I was a child. You know, why would Jesus not call upon his Father God? I mean, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was, you know, a part of the whole. And I've come to realize that it was because evil has no power over you or I unless we give it to him. I mean, it's that simple. There is no power in evil unless you allow it. Evil does not exist on the face of the earth unless someone invites it in. The beings of evil, satanic, whatever it may be, they are in the spiritual realm. But if someone allows them in, then they can act in a material way. The things that are built, are they built well? Is the wood that we get this day and age, is it really in good shape, or is it half rotting away? Everything you look around you is basically an illusion. Jesus said, you know, Father, it is finished. And so I truly believe that he answered that question that Pontius Pilate asked of him. Well, don't we each have our own truth? Well, I think that a lot of people believe that way. And if you're Baptist, well, you know, this is my truth. If you're Methodist, this is my truth. And we're fast finding that some of those doctrines all of a sudden just show up, and they are everything that we have resisted from the times of our childhood and our families before us. And yet, all of a sudden, they're part of it. And what can you do? You have to stand up. You must stand up. You can't sit back. You must vote so that you can hold accountable those that you vote into office to do what's right. Are they doing what they do for the good of the people? And not just me, not just you, for the people that they were elected to represent in whatever capacity. And if they err or stray for any reason, even once, they have automatically pulled themselves out of the truth, out of the light. And the darkness is pushing hard right now. It is trying to push the light out of the way. And I tell you what, in some ways, you know, it has been succeeding. If you look around you, when you see someone that looks like they're 10 years old and they've got a automatic rifle and they're taking shots at people that kill them. I mean, where did that come from? In high school, we got in a fist fight once in a while, but you never pulled a knife or a gun and killed or stabbed the other person. I mean, it's gotten worse. Can we see the signs? When Jesus was at the Last Supper, he picked up the bread and he lifted it above his head and he blessed it, and then he broke it in half. Many have never been taught the beauty of that. When Cain killed Abel, and there was the fall in the garden, and Adam and Eve were cast from the garden, they had to live by the bread they could produce. So they began to be farmers. They began to toil the soil, and by the sweat of their brow. And it was the bread. Bread became the staple. If it still is, if you look at the Middle East, it is the staple of food. But at that point, bread was cursed. And when Jesus lifted that head, that above his head, that piece of bread to be shared, he broke it in half. And what he did was he broke the curse of the bread that it would have upon the human body. I mean, everything that he did for a purpose. There was nothing that was just random. There was nothing that was just, you know, said that was just, you know, to be said. Everything he said. And it was once asked, could, you know, were there other things or more things that Jesus did or said that we can't find in the Holy Writ? And it was said, there aren't enough libraries in this country that could hold the amount of things that Jesus gave us. And yet, how many of them did we actually remember and be able to put down? Everything is hooked together. Everything is one. Everything is linked. And we forget that. And we will set out to harm this one or harm that one, or I'd like to have that and I really need it, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to figure out a way to take it. And really, I mean, somebody asked me about a month ago when I walked up on the porch of one of the stores locally, and he happened to be staying here just in the county for a vacation. And I said, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "I'm a minister, as a matter of fact." I said, "And I absolutely am a Christian. And you know, and I believe in God with all my heart. And I could not imagine one day of this life without having the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Christ that takes up my life and my Father God that I now have access to." And he said, "Well, I still got a question." I said, "Go ahead." He said, "I've asked several people that have come upon this porch today." He said, "You know, and you know, they stopped to say hello. And so I got the chance to ask the question. And that is there one sin or any sin that's worse than the other? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that, well, if you kill somebody, if you outright murder them, or if you lie, or is there a difference in the sin? And I thought, wow, but now you're talking about writing a book here. I said, when Jesus healed people, he either forgave their sins or said, take up thy bed and walk. But those are sins of commission, sins that, you know, that you did physically and you didn't think about it, or you didn't really, you know, put two and two together. He healed those and forgave them. Sins of omission, he called to mind. Because sins of omission are those which you do that you know are wrong at the time, but you do them anyway. Well, I'm going to do them anyway. Even if you can find a way that you think you can justify them. But if there's one truth, then there's no way to justify something that is against another person or against, you know, even, you know, outside the bounds of nature. I mean, it's okay to catch fish. I mean, he filled the nets of the disciples. It's okay if you need meat to eat. I mean, it's okay. But if you're just out there shooting to shoot animals left and right, do you really think that that's God's way? You know, Jesus would tell the disciples, go into the cornfield and pick enough corn for us to have dinner. Wow. I mean, I can tell you right now that if you were caught in a cornfield, you know, in the country, and you were plucking off ears of corn, it probably wouldn't go well. Except that when Christ is there, people react differently within you. And they see the example. And you know what? I guarantee you that the corn in that field where they picked those ears produced at least twice the amount of corn that it probably would have, because God replaces it. The law is receiving for the purposes of sharing. If you don't share it, then you are worshiping Lucifer. Lucifer took the light and uses it for himself. He has no concern of you. You may think he does. I know there are a lot of people in this world that worship that light. That was given for the purposes of sharing. Christ understood it. He was the Logos. And when he gave the light, that this universe could become lit with the light and the love of God, he was receiving for the purposes of sharing. And he never lost one speck of that light, because it's like a candle. You can light another candle from it, but the first candle remains lit. And it's a rude example, but nonetheless, truth. Do you really not know when it's truth, or do we make an excuse? We come up with something that, you know, that we want to try and justify, and we can't. You know, it's easy enough if you are standing in the middle, not left, not right, in the middle, for Christ is the one through whom all extremes are met, and you will receive the truth. And the walk will be God's walk. I mean, when I was reading, you know, about King David, there was a part that I had not noticed before, and I couldn't believe it, but that, you know, he became king, anointed by Samuel earlier, but he became king of Israel at the age of 30. Christ started his ministry at the age of 30. Judah was added to the kingdom of Israel when David was 33. Christ was crucified and resurrected at the age of 33. The reign of King David was 40 years. How long was the Exodus? It doesn't change. It's there. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if we can only keep our eyes on that, and if you step to the left or to the right, or if you make a lie, You know, there is never a time when bad or good comes from bad. It is never just the means justify the end. The key here is do what you know to be right, even if it pinches, even if it hurts a little. You may say, well, I don't want to tell somebody that if they ask, you know, do you like this dress? I don't want to say, well, you really look, you know, kind of chubby in it. You know, it's not that. It's that you don't have to answer the question if you don't feel comfortable with it. Move on to something else. Change the conversation. Do what you need to do, but don't lie. There is never a time when the ends justify the means. And hold those in power accountable. Man's answer to everything has been power. Power of money, power of position, power of wealth, power of this, that, or the other. And few does power not destroy. And so truth is one. If God is one, so is truth. If you have a truth and your husband has another truth, you know, you may say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's insignificant, really, because it will fight. You know, it's the way it is. One will fight the other, and the other will fight the other. It has to, because there has to be a consensus that comes back to the one true God. And when we can do that, we push the darkness back and away. And if we can continue to do that across the face of this planet, when you make your prayers on Sunday, ask that your prayers be added to the prayers of every church across the United States and across the world that are praying at the same time as they go before the throne of God. Then it is two or more in my name. 10 can save a city. You know, 100 can save a nation. So how much can it be if your prayers are added to theirs? How often have you asked that question or asked that it be done? And yet, that's all it takes. You have to ask, because God does not coerce anything in spirituality. Did I get there, Sandy?
I think so. Hey, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of people say God is one, okay?
Right.
And there's the Holy Trinity. Hmm? So can you explain how the Holy Trinity is God as well as God of the universe?
Well, in the beginning it said, you know, if you can see God face to face, you cannot do so and live. And a lot of people have pondered that. I mean, why? Well, it's very simple. The amount of light and the frequency, we'll call it, that's the only word I know in human terms, frequency of the one true God is so high that when you stand before the face of God, if you could see the face of God, the physical body that you occupy could not withstand that light. So there had to be a way to get it to us, no matter what was going on. And I tell you that there is a war right now going on in the heavens, as predicted in Revelation and other places, but a war in the heavens right now over the light and over the dark. And so it is very difficult. There are times when people who pass have trouble getting through, even through the center of that war. Armageddon was, though it will occur in the physical, it is really more about a war in the heavens, in the spiritual realm. And the dark are trying to overcome the light. And it can't, it won't, but the devastation and the things that happen because of it. If here on the earth, we do those things that we know we shouldn't. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's 650 billion or 6.5 billion people on the planet. And we can only find, in the United States, I say it's 350 million, and we can only find two people that could run for president. I'm just saying, vote for who you wish, but two, really, it's down to two? I mean, what's wrong with our system? There are people that have to be held responsible. And so the Father can hold the codes of creation. And he steps them down in light, still the same light as the Father, as the one true God, steps them down, though, and the Christ takes them, and the Christ is one with God. He can hold them, and he grants them to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can occupy the material plane without it harming you know, God's light. There was always a worry that there could be a possibility that it could be tainted, that if the darkness got in to the throne of God, it could alter the universe. And that's why, you know, that no human, nothing that is not of that highest and purest light can stand before that throne. Can you stand before the throne? Is that the key? You know, be one with God. And you do that through Christ. He was the example. And if you're doing anything at all that is not within that example, then you have to ask yourself, I mean, why? Why? And so the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you know, I leave you now, when he was ready for the ascension. And he said, I leave you now, but I go to prepare a place for you, that where you are, there I'll be too. And there's coming a time. If you look at the word Jerusalem, will it be Jerusalem? Because right in the middle of Jerusalem is USA, right? J-E-R-U-S-A. I mean, and truly it has been said that the landing of the dove, the one who's descended when Jesus was baptized, will be across the face of the Americas. Are we going to be ready for it? Because if you can't withstand that light, you won't be here. And I don't want to see anybody go. Honestly, I want everyone to be able to take that light and pull it into themselves and make it one with themselves. And so, you know, the Holy Trinity was necessary to step the light down. And she, and it is a she, the feminine aspect of God, can take the codes, and it's almost like she becomes impregnated with them, the codes of first creation, and she can come across the face of the material planes. And if you are willing, and the good thing is you don't have to be perfect to be chosen, but you know, it said that many are chosen, but in reality it's many may be chosen, but few choose to be chosen. You have to choose. You have to accept it. Use me in any way you can, and you will find it, the steps that you walk, you know, just like King David walked, and then Christ, you know, carried the same thing with him, because the lineage of King David had to eventually become the lineage of Jesus through his mother. And King Herod was the lineage of Esau. Two brothers there again, but one was chosen. The other decided to go the material way. And you see where that led. And it will always be. Don't be caught unaware. Right now, discernment is so important, because it will look right. You look at it, you see it, you'll think, it looks right. I mean, it seems right. I mean, what the preacher says seems right, but go to your heart and ask that the truth be given to you from God, and you'll know. I mean, we really know most often if what we're doing is right or if it's not right. Many people feel that they're going to be lifted up in the sky, and they won't have to go through any of the issues of the tribulations or you know, the predictions. Nowhere in my Bible does it say that. I have researched Thessalonians where the word rapture in the King James Version is used. And in the Greek, the original writings, it is interpreted as forcibly removed. It says nothing about being lifted up into the heavens. And, you know, too many ministers are afraid to teach, you know, what you really need to know for fear that your collection plate will dwindle. Well, I don't worry about that. You know, you notice on our radio shows, we don't even ask for a donation, you know, because what we want is for you to take and walk the path that needs to be walked. And the truth will be given to you, but follow it. Don't stray from it, because if you do, it will definitely cost you, and you never know when. It is a civilization that not only has departed from the ways of God, but now wars against them. The war is increasingly being waged from the highest levels of culture. Look around you. I mean, goodness gracious, West Virginia passed a law, I don't know, several years ago, and on the ballot, and it was placed into the Constitution of the state that no one could claim that they had a right through privacy or whatever, you know, to an abortion. And this state has actually avoided much of the devastation that other places have been getting. And you don't think that's, you think that's a coincidence? But do we continue to hold it? Or do we continue to take monies and use them for our own personal purposes, or because we want cushier places to set, or whatever it may be? It's about the people, you know? It's all about, if you take that oath of office, or if you are just, you know, someone who lives in the state or lives wherever, you know, it's about being the example, because we believe an example much quicker than we believe what somebody says. You know, we'll reject it oftentimes outright. But when you see the example and you see the result, you know, they, how can we deny them? And that's the beauty of it. Did I answer it?
I think you did. Very good. Thank you.
I wasn't sure. I mean, sometimes I get, you know, moving out there because there's so much that so many people don't seem to know. I mean, I've had people tell me, well, you know, as I was being raised and the preachers, you know, they would preach a sermon or pick a piece of scripture, but they never really, you know, defined it. And they never told us to read our Bible and try to understand what it was trying to tell us. No, never. And I thought, well, that doesn't even make sense to me. I mean, I don't understand that, but I do remember, because, you know, there hardly hasn't been a church that I haven't preached at, except maybe a Catholic or a synagogue. But, you know, we are Israel. When the tribes of Israel were scattered, within our own DNA was placed the image of God and the light codes that give us the scriptures. So if you read a passage and you're not quite sure what the meaning is really about, ask. And those codes will be open to you because they are within you. That was the place that they were hidden, because every place else was ransacked by the Romans. Now, I think, you know, and that's beautiful. We really appreciate that, you offering us. That was our engineer and one of the owners that offered us to go longer if we wanted. And that's great. But I think we got the message out that we wanted to today, didn't we, Sandy?
I think so, yes.
Just know the truth is in the center. Don't look left. Don't look right. Walk forward and act. Your actions are what people see,
right.
You know?
And when you're faced with thoughts of evil things, you know your own personal power. Know your connection to God. Know your oneness with the light. And when you know that, nothing can overpower you.
Right. And if you have a day where it seems like things are troubling or kind of trying to trouble your mind, sing, you know, we should be singing every day. When Jesus walked with the disciples, the disciples and himself, they always were singing a song, typically from Psalms, because Psalms are songs. They were all, at one time, a song. And that's why a lot of them ended with the word Shelah. And the Proverbs are more masculine. But look at the Psalms and put it to music, to yourself. If you can't write music, I'm sure that you know a tune that will match, and put it to music, or look out there and see if there's music somewhere that will match it. You know, music, you singing, when try to sing and have a bad thought, you can't do it. You just can't do it. When you sing, your mind is at peace and it cannot be infiltrated. And yet, if we get angry at someone and scream at them, it opens up a hole that will allow for the not-so-shiny light, I call it, the angels seem to call it, to have a way in. And it's harder to get out than it is to get in. So watch everything you say, everything you do. And if, like I said, if you're having trouble with it, come up with a song. I love the old hymns. Sometimes I'm outside singing and I'm singing those old hymns. And I know I'm singing them loud enough that, you know, half the valley can probably hear it. And I don't have a perfect voice. And the only problem I have is that sometimes I'll sing the same song over and over. And my wife is like, hey, you know, I love hearing you sing, but, you know, can you change the song? And so, oh, didn't realize. But, you know, and the sacred names of God, the Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. That's phonetic is what I'm giving you there. And that will dispel anything around you that is of the Natsushani light. It cannot withstand the frequency of that. And use the holy names. I mean, rather than just English, which, of course, English is Unglish, which is angel language. It was what it was supposed to be. My goodness gracious. Didn't take them long, did it, to try and skewer it or turn it upside down or turn it around left to right. I mean, you know, we have so many words that bear and bear and bear. I mean, you know, which one is it and what does it apply to? They say it's one of the hardest languages to understand. And yet, it shouldn't be. Because even the Native Americans used to say, white men talk too much. You know, and that's probably true. But because it's not the words that will make all the difference. But when you talk to somebody that you stop to see, and do you talk to them about God? I mean, if not, why not? Are you afraid to? Are you embarrassed? Are you worried that they're going to, you know,
judge you?
Exactly. And if you're worried that they're going to judge you, then they already have. And you're going to find that people you've known all your life, they're not. Sometimes you're going to find that they deceive you, because it's one or the other. You're either on the side of the light of God and doing God's work, or you are on the side of the material realm and the work of the other side, the darkness. And it's come down to that. And so you're going to find that people, they won't even realize it, but they're going to sometimes not be so nice to you if you are holding that light. And that's the way it's predicted in the scriptures. That's the way it's been throughout time, is that the righteous people, the spiritual people, and it says so. Read the Bible. It says so in there that they'll be the first ones that have to deal with, you know, the not so shiny light or the darkness, or the individuals that have allowed it in. And do you think they know that they've allowed it in? Probably not. Because when darkness gets in, it pushes you back a little. And if you do more of it, it pushes you back even more. And before long, you don't even realize that you're in the darkness and that you are attacking anything that will try to tell you the truth. So if you have questions, please email us at sandysangeltalk@aol.com, or you can use the TOLC church at aol.com. Either one of those will work. And email us or call us at 304-567-3355. And, you know, we will try to give you the answers that we can, or help in any way. And you're going to be going through things if you are righteous. And it's going to be hard, because we have always come to believe that God will protect us. We won't have to deal with that, you know. But it's never been that way, and it's not going to be that way coming up. God will give you the way of escape if you hold to the light and the truth. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. I mean, Trinity, the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know about truth? It's in the middle. The way, if you're following Christ, he gives you the way. And the truth comes through the middle. And then life, eternal life, life. I mean, even here on the earth, life, life force. How many of us, you know, at times feel like we just don't have enough energy to get up and go? I mean, and yet he is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll find that those type scriptures always come in trinities. Most everything around you when it happens and you know God's in it, it will occur in a trinity. Some way or another, when you have walked past it, look at it, and you will see that it was a trinity that occurred that allowed you the opportunity to tell of the love of God in your life.
Oh, yeah. Always things of power come in threes.
Absolutely. And it steps it down so that you can have access to it. And that's the key. Call and ask the Holy Spirit to take up your life. And she is the one who carries the gifts of God. So it's the gifts of Holy Spirit. And open your Bibles and look for it. Do some research and look at what those gifts are. Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, one of them is the ability to heal. Can one imagine being able to raise the dead? And you may say, oh, but now that's impossible. I mean, come on. You're really going out there, aren't you? Really? I mean, the disciples did it. And yet some of the things that Jesus sent them out to do, they'd come back and say, we couldn't do it. And Jesus would get perturbed. And he would say, why? I gave you the authority to do it. And he would go with them, and he would cast out demons from someone and place them into the pigs. You've got to put them into something so that they don't just wander around and find somebody else. Into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the hill and drowned themselves in the water. Why the water? The water encapsulates negativity. So, literally, the water encapsulated every one of those demonic possessions that were in the man. And it was a gift, in reality, because someday that lake won't be there, or that sea, or that river, or whatever it was, won't be there. And the encapsulation will release those beings to have to go through a life where they have to carry an emotional body, just like you do. And that's one of the hardest things to do. Would it be easier if we didn't have emotions? Well, maybe, but how much do you love to be loved? How much, you know, do you feel the exaltation of Christ when he takes up your body, or when you see the miracles of the hand of God in your life? I mean, so the emotional body is being able to control those things through God that he has planned for you from the beginning.
Absolutely. Very good.
So we're going to go ahead and let you go. But again, you know, call us again, 304-567-3355. We are the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. And
we want to thank all of you for listening to our radio show. And we will be back in 2 weeks. We hope that you will join us then.
And we want to thank the owners of this radio stations. I mean, it's huge, and it is the hand of God. I know, because, I mean, it literally came out of nowhere. And, you know, and it has been such a blessing. I mean, it has enabled us to be able to give untold amounts of boxes of food, and we deliver them. We don't have people try to come to us, because you know what? There's a lot of people who don't have transportation. And we go back down deep in the mountains, in the valleys. And sometimes, you know, we have a four-wheel drive, but snow. I mean, you know, you wonder if you're going to get back up out of there. And we've over 100 cases of food since the beginning of the year. And I'm not bragging, because those were donations from some of our outreach centers. And, you know,
it's just been a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. And some people, when you drive up and they come out their front door, they are just, I mean, smiling from ear to ear. I mean, they talk with you, and you can just see the life force in them pick up, because, you know, we don't know. Did they not have any food? I mean, where was the next meal coming from? So where we go is where we're led to go. And how many of us are doing that? I mean, could you miss one meal, you know, yourself, just to be able to give to God, to be able to go to someone who needs it? And yes, Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you, but he didn't mean it as a bad thing. You know, he just meant that when it comes to God, follow God, and, you know, not over here, over there, poor, rich, whatever, nothing in the material, because it's really not real, mostly illusion. You know, it has to be, because it will not exist. It will eventually fall down. And want to be, make sure that you are in one with the light so that the restoration of your own soul can occur and you can be one with God and still know yourself as an individual.
Absolutely.
So blessings to you and to the station, and we are so glad to be able to do this show.
Thank you, and God bless.